That was so much fun doing that Legends of Rock thing when Paul Rogers came on for an hour, and then Leslie West was on for an hour, and then Jack Cassidy of the Airplane was on for an hour, and then Ian Anderson came on for an hour, and he was, well, he was edgy. He was just great. Yeah, they were all great, but Ian was fun. We're going to have to get his take on what's going on in old Blighty one of these days. He said he would. He's a cool guy. And in fact, they've got the thick as a brick, like version 2 or Reloaded or the sequel to it that's out. And I'll tell you, they're still making spectacular music, just spectacular music. And unlike poor Beyonce, it's like they don't lip sync. Never did. Never will. All right. Let's go out to L.A., Los Angeles, California. John on wild card line number 4. How are you, John? Come on.
Yes. Hi, John. Doing good?
Good. What's on your mind?
I have changed my topic so many times tonight. Your guests are just amazing tonight. I got to compliment everybody that talked tonight. I'm just like right on with so many things. I think I wanted to change it again when your guy, the guest earlier about the... talking about all the conspiracy, consumer, the money, the monetary stuff he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to change it again then, but I won't, because I know you're a big JFK guy, and I read something. Are you familiar with a magazine called The Week magazine?
Yes.
Yeah. Last week they had a thing in there in Dallas. It's pretty short. I'll read most of it here. JFK conspiracy reignited. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., so Robert F. Kennedy's son, revealed this week that he believed his uncle, John Kennedy, was not killed by a lone gunman and that his late father had suspected mafia involvement. At a public event in Dallas, Kennedy said he doubted the findings of the Warren Commission, which concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in assassination of the president 50 years ago, and that his father, Robert F. Kennedy, thought the commission's report was a shoddy piece of craftsmanship. Kennedy said his father suspected that his crusade against organized crime as JFK's attorney general might have led to his brother's assassination.
Yep.
So he had investigators examine the phone records, the part that got me. He had investigators examine the phone records of Jack Ruby, the man who shot Oswald 2 days later, and found that they were like an inventory of top mafia leaders.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that whole thing looked, I don't know, it's pretty transparent on so many levels. You know, President Kennedy had threatened the CIA to, like, get rid of him. Cross with Cuba, had that whole standoff. Cross with, had to back Khrushchev down, and he did. And there was a lot of stuff he didn't want to go along with. He wanted to be a forthcoming about the UFO thing.
Also, the his currency thing at the time, wanting to get back to the silver. I'm kind of vague on that, but wanting to get back to the silver dollar again, the silver certificate.
Yeah, you know, I haven't vetted this, but I keep seeing this report from Iron Mountain about how, before we get too deep in this whole peace thing, we should probably look at the benefits of remaining in a wartime state. Stabilizes the government, controls the economy, you know, keeps the population focused, just a bunch of stuff. And the report is, and you know, I'm, without being an independent researcher who did nothing but that all the time, it'd be very difficult to get to the truth. But if this is real, and if these reports are real, then JFK rejected it out of hand and said, I don't want anybody to see this. So, you know, a lot of people didn't like John Kennedy, you know, but a lot of people who did not like him back in the day are beginning to wonder if he might not have been. They're even calling him the last true American president. I mean, the stories are always better. The stories are always bigger. The legend, that's why they call them legends, because they get bigger. They get monumental. But that was no lone gunman with a palm print that they just happen to have video or film of handing out pro-Castro literature down the street from the Office of Naval Intelligence in New Orleans. And then this guy takes an old Italian contract Mauser, and the Italians were not happy about having to build those rifles for the Germans anyway. and this was not like a prime precision shooting iron. And that's just, you know, nobody's going to tell me that president's head went backwards because he was hit from the back. That's just...
Yeah, certainly.
Things happen when objects flying at high speed hit stuff, but that's not one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just think for myself that having, I would say, as close to the ultimate source as you can get, having Robert F. Kennedy's son come out and go, you know what, I don't believe this. I think it's a huge, just one more incremental step closer to some kind of disclosure around this topic. And I did the math recently, and this is the kind of wrap-up I have of, like, that this is, for me, just makes me feel good in that sense, is I did the math again, and I'm going to be 77 in 2039 when this is supposed to be released to the public, finally. You know, so anything that can come along to, you know, speed up that process and have it happen, you know, 5 or 10 years from now or something, I'm all good by that. And this, for me, is just, what are you going to do when the son of Robert F. Kennedy comes out and says, nah, it's a conspiracy? I mean, what do you do then?
Well, that's the question, because most of the people who would have been involved in that have passed beyond the veil. You know, I mean, John Kennedy would be in his 90s now. Yeah?
Certainly, yeah.
So that's why they set it off so far. It has to come out eventually, because they... You know, they write it down somewhere in some strange cabinet in some underground 20-acre facility. I'm sure there's a nice big file there that's got a big red sticker on it. And the guy that works there goes, oh, no, you don't. You know, some Ernest Borgnine-looking guy. You know, he was Italian. You know, Ernest Borgnine's, yeah, Borghine, not Borgnine. We just called him that. We thought he was German or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he was Italian. Well, all right. Is that all you got?
I had the other, you know, 4 or 5 topics that I switched over the night, but I think that's the main one. I'm all good.
Okay. John, you rock, man. You're a ray of light and a good brother. Thanks for calling, for holding so long, you know. Appreciate you very much. Pam in Oklahoma City, oil company. Oil country, oil company. Oil company. Pam in Oklahoma City. Howdy.
Hi. I'm not...
How are you?
I'm not an oil company.
Don't you wish you were?
I don't know. They stink.
Oh, well, I know they do, but I'll tell you, they're just stinking rich, aren't they? But then all of a sudden, then they kill the dollar, and what do they got? Nothing. They screwed over all these people, and they got nothing.
Oil. Yeah. Well, they think they got something, but it's nasty.
Yes.
I was waiting, by the way.
Yes.
Because I've been waiting. But wow. I want to see it at the end. It's real short.
Okay.
What I called about was Sandy Hook thing. Again, sorry. But
was what?
I've heard Sandy Hook.
Oh, gotcha.
I heard some things.
Yes.
I heard an interview with the coroner who came out of the building. And this reporter was asking him questions, saying, what can you tell us about what was going on inside there, and what kind of bullets did they use to kill the kids? And he was saying, oh, they came off of one of those rifles that have extra magazines. What do you call them again?
Call them assault rifles.
Whatever they, yeah, one of those. Okay. So he goes,
I call it a counter-assault rifle, but that's just me. Go ahead.
But sir, the rifle is in the car, he said. We've seen it. It's in the car, laying on the seat. The rifle's not in there. Are you sure that's what kind of bullets you saw? And the guy goes, well, you really shouldn't be asking me these questions. I don't know too much about it. But
the coroner doesn't know too much about it.
Right. He said... The few that I saw, now the coroner's supposed to look at all of the bodies, all of them. They didn't have 16 coroners in there. He goes, the kids that I actually took bullets out of, the bullets came from that assault rifle. And the guy kept saying, but he didn't have it in the building. It's in the car right now. How can you say that? And he said, well, I told you shouldn't be asking me, because you should ask somebody else. And then I heard... The death certificate on the killer, that was supposed to be the killer, says the day before the thing was supposed to happen at Sandy Hook.
No, this is rumor, though. You didn't, like, see this.
Yeah. No. The boy died the day before. The mother died the morning of.
You know, the thing about it is, I understand that the people in the, you know, I get on here and start popping off about the banks, and I start popping off about the government and so forth. And, you know, my only excuse is this. I really am kind of a liberty or death kind of guy. I really am. I don't like what I see. And so much of it is undeniable. And people are in denial. And being in denial is simply the blanking of unsavory facts. It's like, we're so sick of being lied to. We really are. And I mean, this blatant and transparent manipulation, and this, you know, I don't like the fact that our daughters, I mean, as a man, I don't like that our daughters, our mothers, our wives, our sisters, our cousins, our women folk get to be groped at the airport just to get on a plane and go on a vacation. There's no reason for that. You know, we got to stop terrorism, man. It's like, well, good God, are we just going to do this for the rest of our lives? This is not normal. Put up some restrictions. Enforce the laws that are on the books, such as closing the border. You know, every other country on earth does this except us. This is just one big Disneyland. Well, you know, even Disneyland charges you for a ticket. And I think we're just done. I think maybe the government may be waking up to the fact that the citizenry is not just going to continue to sit for this. They're going to throw us out of office. And I can only hope there are enough of us to do it, you know? What do you think? Think there's enough of us to do it? Did you go away?
No, I'm still here. I can't.
Answer me.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm actually over there.
Did I go away?
Mm-mm.
Oh, good.
No, you're right here. No, I'm saying, you think the citizenry has got enough muscle at the polls to, like, undo this before, you know, disaster besets us?
Yeah, because everybody I know is really sick of it and mad and disgusted and tired of it and tired of being treated like a puppet.
I love this. So, I really do. Get mad. It's good for you.
I don't like ostriches. I don't like, you know, those. My parents are ostriches, and they just stick their head in the sand and don't care. But yeah. I think we have enough people.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You give me hope. I appreciate it. And but the right kind of hope, not the imaginary kind of hope. As a matter of fact, you've strengthened my faith. Let's just get rid of the H word altogether. I love this. This is great stuff. Was she great or what? Yes. Dexter, Baltimore, Maryland. Oh, we got to take a break. We do? When? Oh, yeah, we do. We didn't. We didn't take a break. We're going to take a break now, or it's going to be like continual commercials. Just stand by. We'll be right back with some more of your calls. I was having too much fun. I'm sorry. It's Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Dexter. Dexter in Baltimore. Ran the break kind of long, so I had to stall you a little longer, but thanks for hanging in there so long. How are you tonight?
That's cool. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, positively.
Okay, so I've called in a bunch of times before. This is the first time I've talked to you, and it's a real pleasure to talk to you, John. I mean, I'm a big fan.
Thanks, man.
It's interesting that certain people have called in talking about Sandy Hook, and I've been trying to talk about Sandy Hook myself. And in fact, if people who have been listening the last couple weeks, like every time that I have tried to call in and I even get on air right before I get to talk about what I want to talk about, I get cut off. And George himself said last week that, you know, it was bizarre the way that I got cut off before I got to say what I wanted to say.
Believe me, man, we experienced some anomalies here you just wouldn't believe, depending on the subject matter. So you're not alone.
Okay.
But you got it now. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me attempt to talk about Sandy Hook. First of all, the number one thing that really freaks me out about Sandy Hook is that the fact that this has something in common with the with 9/11, it has something in common with the London bombings, and the thing that has common with that is that there was a government class, a FEMA class, that was going on the same day in the same location that had to do with the same thing that was going on. You know, you can look it up on YouTube, man. It's you can go on YouTube and type in FEMA L-366 Connecticut, and you can and it will bring you to a government site from Connecticut that has to do with FEMA exercise that deals with government dealing with disaster control for children being injured before, after, and after the fact. I mean, what are the odds of it being in London bombing, the 9/11 attacks, and then this?
Mm-hmm. Well,
this is.
No, go ahead.
But what do you think? I mean, this is one of many things that I have to talk about.
Don't know where to start on that one. I really don't. What's the thing about any? What's the biggest spike of that whole scenario that you just laid out? What's the biggest spike on your scope? What seems to be the linchpin, the one that kind of the part that describes all of the rest of it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, what's the part of it that stands out the very most to you?
Okay, well, there's a few things. I mean, that the one that I just talked about is definitely one of them. Okay, and then lots of other ones would be that several of the so-called victims. And look, I'm not saying that there was a conspiracy. I'm not saying that this thing didn't happen. I'm not trying to make any speculation about what happened. What my interpretation is that, just like so many other things, is that this thing, we've been lied to. It's like, look, you look at 9/11, you look at Benghazi, you look at the Fast and Furious, you look at Pat Tillman, you look at Jessica Lynch. We get lied to all the time. Why is it so crazy to think that we're being lied to about this? Okay, I don't know what happened here, but the thing is that I don't trust the narrative, because the story is just all over the place. I mean, we see this story, and look, I watched it from the beginning, and we've been told, like, the shooter had six guns, and then he had
four pistols. First, it was two pistols, then four. Yeah, I got you. Don't trust any of it. When you are listening to the mainstream media, remember always, you are listening to a machine. Say, this is pretty fun. Naked Lions on a Friday night. John B. Wells sitting in for George Norrie. Thank you very much, Captain, for letting me sit here. And we'll be back with some more of your calls for our final segment. This is Coast. Hey, tomorrow night I'll be with you again for the usual Saturday night shindig. And we're going to talk with Andreas Bachmeier. He's written a book called Vaccine Free, 111 Stories of Unvaccinated Children. And listen, here's the thing. Before you decide what the program is going to be about and go, oh, God, you know, we're going to talk about. I just spoke with a registered nurse the other day who said, oh, yeah, there's most definitely mercury in there, in some of them. And so somebody sent an email earlier that said, you know, polio was a real thing. It's like, yeah, I know. Back in the day, our parents would make us come in the house during the hot summer days between 2 and 4 because they thought being out in the heat might give it to you, you know, because we just didn't know. It's amazing. You can hang around a few decades and you look back and go, wow, the thinking was really almost Stone Age compared to all this great science. The problem is, some of the science is really, really good. The products of science are just absolutely overwhelming. But that goes two ways, overwhelmingly good and sometimes just plain overwhelming, unnecessary, and destructive. So we're going to look at it, and we'll hear the stories, and we'll challenge the premise, and we'll see if we can squeeze some truth out of it. You know, there have been several people who have just said, don't trust the feds when it comes to these vaccines. And we're not doctors. We're not pathologists. Some of us are. I'm not. So let's find out. I'll grill them. We'll get to the bottom of it as close to the bottom as we can get to it. All right. All right. We've got plenty of time for a few more calls. We're going to get to them right after this. Thanks for being with us tonight. Wells in for Nori on Coast to Coast AM. This is funny. Mark sent this email that says fluoride retards development. He writes, true enough. So does Facebook, unfortunately. That's mean. Hey, let's talk to Julia in Des Moines, Iowa. Julia in Des Moines, how are you?
Great. Sit up and listen all the time. I've been listening since Art Bell days.
No kidding. Me too.
I'm trying to date myself.
It's lonely, but I date myself too.
I wanted to make a quick recommendation to your second hour caller that had a couple of deaths that were really, he seemed very, very disturbed by still. There's an author that helped me tremendously through various family deaths over the years, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She's from Europe. I believe it was in Sweden. And the first book I read of hers was On Death and Dying. She was a nurse. And she actually delved into the realm of the afterlife, even though she had a medical background and was back, probably in the 30s and 40s, I believe it was, when she was nursing and developing the experiences that she had with her patients that were on death's doorstep.
Wow.
And then, she's amazing. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It's a U with the umlaut over the two dots over the U.
Ah, Kubler.
And it's a hyphenated name, yeah. And it's hyphenated to Ross. R-O-S-S.
Gotcha.
Fantastic author. Fantastic woman. And then the other thing I would really wanted to touch on, since all these other subjects have been beaten and beaten and beaten, is the guys in the military.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My dad was a Korean veteran, had probably had undiagnosed PTSD that I grew up with for over 50 years. First husband was military, so I was married to it.
Yeah.
Saw some horrendous things, met some guys that had undiagnosed PTSD, now that I know what it is since I've been diagnosed 25 years ago with it,
yeah,
myself, and various things. And the guys that I'm around now that I volunteer at the VA, they're amazing. They're broken. They're broken inside.
Let me ask you something. This may be sensitive. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I'm just like everybody else. Sometimes I don't know the difference between asking a question and stabbing somebody in the heart. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But let me ask you this. What is the broken part? Is it philosophical? Is it just the sheer horror? Is it, the World War II guys, you talk about, shell-shocked. But some of them weren't necessarily shocked by the exploding shells. They were just shocked by the horror. I mean, when you look at those black and white films, I mean, when they're shooting these people, they're shooting Japanese with these, these 30-06 machine guns that fire in 10 rounds a second, and that's slow. Do the math, 60 seconds, 10 rounds,
right,
that's only 600 a minute. And it's just chopping up human bodies like
right,
they're not even human bodies, like they're just stuff they're shooting. I mean,
and those weapons were horribly heavy.
Oh, those people that participated in that conflict, I mean, I'm sorry, but they got it all over us. That's they They have the definition of tough has never been redefined after those people. They were the greatest generation, and I agree. I predict the next generation, the millennials, will be the next greatest generation. But what's getting them? Is it the horror of the conflict? Do they not feel like they're in a righteous conflict? I mean, what's eating them?
The confrontation of looking these guys in the eyes when they shoot them. I've talked to so many of these veterans. World War II, there's still some of them alive here in Iowa. Yeah. World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. I have a close friend that's a Vietnam vet. He was in Cambodia when he was barely 18 at the very end.
Yeah.
And that didn't even get him as bad as having to shoot another Marine on the base, stateside, because he was drunk and high after coming back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he was so whacked out on drugs, he was approaching the armory, and my friend was on guard duty, demanded that he stop several times, had to shoot him. He died, and the guy's father wanted to talk to him and said, "It's not your fault."
So it's just the same. It's just regular old human problems, but it's
right.
The stakes are just raised.
He talks in his sleep. He spent many, many nights at my place, and as a friend, and he talks in his sleep constantly. He's on several medications. He's been in and out of the inpatient unit and the psych unit. I mean, the guy's been through some horrendous things. There's another vet that I just met not too long ago, 27 years old, still has shrapnel in him, multiple surgeries, was in Iraq.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the thing...
PTSD is so severe. His is as severe as mine was about 22 years ago when I was at the worst point. My PTSD.
And you were in no, wait a second. Wait a second. You're getting away from me here. You had PTSD, and how was this induced? Were you...
Mine?
Yeah.
The things that I listened to, the things that I went through with my dad growing up, from his PTSD, the travels I did as a musician when I was younger, almost getting myself killed in New Orleans.
Oh, I guess
being beaten by, being beaten real severely by
stuff like that.
A couple
I guess
domestic situations, things like that.
General trauma.
Yeah.
I get it.
The kind of, and they accumulate. So, you learn to live with these things. And I've gotten some great help over the years. I've gotten some horrible help over the years. And one of the other callers said the mental health system needs to be revamped in this country. I absolutely agree. And medications can be good, can be bad. I was addicted to Valium for 15 years. I finally got tired of it and took myself off of it and said, this is ridiculous.
It's all about choices, isn't it? You know, the only thing that really disturbs me about our soldiers over there is the number of tours they're doing. And it's my understanding that the suicides outnumbered the combat fatalities.
My sister and her husband are divorced because of it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's still a Marine officer.
Oh, boy.
He's still active duty. Yeah, he's stateside now, but he's still active duty. But it destroyed their marriage.
It has happened. Julia, thank you so much for your call. You take care of yourself and just, you're doing it right. So you too, this will be the third time I've used this expression, but you are a ray of light. So just keep shining. I want to talk to Tommy in Hawaii on wild card line number two. Tommy, are you there?
How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Hey, is there any truth to this stuff about the reports about stuff floating into Oahu and Kauai?
Yeah, they're getting some, you mean the radiation stuff?
Yeah.
It's the government, as usual, they're not telling you nothing. It's, what are they calling the sister products or whatever of the strontium and the rest of it?
The cesium.
It will dilute somewhat, but as far as I know, that thing is still running pretty wild over there. They're not telling the Japanese people squat.
Yeah.
And anyway, but yeah, I wish I could tell you more. I just don't know that much about it.
That's okay. I just wanted to give it a shot since you were over there. I thought you might have heard something that we didn't get, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff washing up on shore now, but more in California and stuff, I hear, because of the way the Japanese current goes.
Not a peep out of the mainstream media, my brother. Not a peep. Nothing.
Yeah, not a peep. Yeah, as usual. As usual.
Yeah. What's on your mind mainly tonight?
Well, I think, you know, I called. There's going to be a book coming out written by my uncle, a man named Anthony Zarelli. And his father was Papa Joe Zarelli, who was one of the most respected men in Detroit, head and shoulders above any of these guys that called himself the wise guys or whatever you want to call them in Detroit. It's known as the partnership, okay? I'm not going to pull any punches.
Right.
Yeah, I, you know, I was stupid. I joined up back in the 80s. I had an uncle who's now dead. I won't mention any living people. But his last name was Finazzo, and he was there for, he went all the way back to the Purple Gang with the Jewish gangsters and stuff when they were running rum across the Detroit River. That's how long my family and my wife's family were directly from Sicily. So that's the unique thing about that family, is the only way in. And I, when I say family, I'm not speaking in the term of mafia family. I'm speaking in term of blood family.
Yeah, the actual family.
That you marry into it. You have to be related to somebody. And the feds call it the partnership, you know.
What's the name of the book?
I don't know what it is, the name of it. I know Bernstein, who's a friend of mine, he's the author. And it's it basically broke the news with where Hoffa's remains were going to be. And the reason I called, I would never call in a million years, but I want to say something about my uncle Tony. And Tony Zarelli, when he says something, you can take that to the bank. That man is never uttered a falsehood that I could ever remember, and I've known him for years, and he's a stand-up guy. And what this is, I think he's getting a bad rap, and no one should ever call Papa Tony a rat, and it's not a rat book, and I'm sure nobody's names are going to be mentioned. But he's just going to, you know, he's old. He's in his late 80s, and he's sick. And he was done a very bad disservice by the creep who's in control now up there in Detroit, and who is actually a cousin of his. And, you know, they did not take care of him when he went there. He was sent up on a phony tax thing. And,
right.
And he basically drained his life savings. So what is it he got left? The poor old guy, he's got to write a book and make a few bucks, you know. Still got to pay the light bill, right?
And why not? Got to do something, right?
You got to do something. That's right.
And, well, listen, that's a beautiful. You're on the Big Island?
Well, I don't have to say which island.
Never mind. Forget it. I'm sorry I even asked you that. But like, let me put it this way. Whatever island you're on, it's a beautiful thing. Just, you know, watch out. And if you feel like shooting me an email, if you come across anything, it's John B, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com. Just shoot me an update. It's absolutely completely impossible, Tommy, to answer all of the email that comes in. But I answer as many of them as I can. So just because you send one doesn't mean I didn't see it. So don't hesitate. And thanks for the call, pal. I appreciate you very much. And I say that affectionately, not disrespectfully, pal. All right, let's see what we got. We got a bunch. Okay, Linda in Ontario on Wild 3.
Hi, John. I really appreciate you putting out the truth for us people and making us want to stand and say the truth. I
appreciate your listening and then taking the action, because I'm just one person, just a guy with a microphone.
Oh, no, I know this show, but I like your style. It's very good.
I appreciate
it. You allow people to speak, and I'm going, wow, you learn a lot more. God, there's topics. The one that I called on was, I guess maybe people can understand this and maybe grab a better hold of the truth in this area. But in the 1800s, there was a lot of, shall we say, paranormal, occult doings, meaning, not so necessarily evil, but just, the hidden parts that people don't talk about today. Well, there was one woman by the name of Anne Sprengel. Some today websites say it's not a true story, but it is a true story.
Right.
She would go around, let's say, England at the time and set up these occult lodges and, spiritual groups of people, and with the help of some others, to contact higher powers or, like, say, beings from another realm, that we can contact, or some kind of, people maybe from another planet. But in actuality, it was a group of adepts in Germany who knew how to control, the mind and the telepathic ways. It was actually them. And this way they had control. So, it's people take note. It's not necessarily what it all seems. And the manipulation, and what they've, this has been discovered. But in the meantime, it's done a lot of, misconceptions and untruths and a lot of thinkings horribly.
Yes. And, it's always that way.
And, we know that Hitler was just a puppet, as evil as he was and dark with his eyes. I've looked at some of the true documentaries and knew that there was spells put out there. You can tell by the eyes if you know what to look for. So,
absolutely.
I just wanted the people to look for the truth in deeper areas,
Yes. Linda, you have the distinction of being our final caller tonight. You've got a great voice and some great thoughts, and you are a ray of light also. Thanks. Listen, everybody that we didn't get to talk to tonight, I'm sorry about that, but once you get on the air, I'd like to give you a little time to chat about things, All right, the left-right paradigm is officially destroyed on Coast to Coast AM. Next, political correctness. Remember, we were under German rules for the fourth hour, and in Germany you say, once you have destroyed your reputation, you can actually live quite freely. So don't worry about the PC, just advance, evolve. Let's go into 2013 and see what's waiting. All right. Thanks. It was fun sitting in for George Norrie tonight. Talk at you tomorrow night about vaccines. Let's find out what all this hysteria is about. Until then and beyond, be well and good night.